we sin in front of our children, they know it perfectly well.
Yes, they've got to know.
And if we smooth it over or act as if we're perfect, we're certainly not reinforcing our position of authority over them.
In Hebrews 10, we're told to promote love and good works. For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Drawing on her decades of personal study and the application of God's principles as a daughter, mother, wife, and missionary, Elizabeth reminds us that anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with my friend, Arlita Winston, about the rearing of children. I'm so glad that you're with us today in the studio, Arlita.
Thank you. It's a privilege.
Well, it's my privilege to have you. And we've talked about the fact that nothing is more important in a child's life. It's probably the most important aspect of his training, the parental example. And you've told us this very instructive little story about your two-year-old Brad, who angrily and rather defiantly, watching you all the time, tore up one of his books, his storybooks, and you very quietly and swiftly took hold of the child, put him on a stool in the middle of the room, put the torn bits of book in his lap, and with steady eye contact and a solemn and quiet tone, you pressed home to him that what he had done was naughty, and he had to sit still and meditate on his sins. When his father, Joe, a physician, came home that evening, you told him this story, didn't you?
Yes, he walked into the kitchen and saw Brad perched up on his stool, and he looked at me, knowing that was a very uncommon place for Brad to be, nodded his head to Brad and said, "Well, what's that all about?" And I said, "I'll tell you later." So that night, after the children were tucked into bed and we were doing the dishes together, I began telling him the episode. And Joe immediately said, "Arlita, is he copying me, do you think? Do you know of any way that I have been defiant or rebellious? Because I think we need to look at ourselves and see if they're copying us." And so we spent the next 15 minutes talking about where we were defiant, and was I undercutting Joe, for instance? I needed to look at that. Was he getting an example that he could undercut authority? And so this time of reflection, though it wasn't very long, it served as a reminder to me that I am the best teacher to the child, and whether I teach him good or bad, he is going to learn it.
Do you think that a child learns more by what you say or by what you do?
Definitely what we do, but often we scream it while we're doing it, don't we? And he's like a sponge, taking in everything he sees and he hears. He hears the very tone of the voice that I speak to my husband with. And if I get away with it, he will too.
What message is a child getting when the mother screams at him?
That I'm angry, that I've lost total patience, and probably that he doesn't have too much value, that I don't cherish him very much.
Well, he probably thinks you hate him too, doesn't he? You know, I mean, little child will say, "You don't love me," or
"Yeah, that's right.
You never let me have anything."
That's right.
But the way you have described your dealing with this one incident gets across enormously important messages to this child. If you and Joe had discovered that either one of you was acting unkindly or harshly, what would you have done next?
Well, I think I did that evening. That's why I remember it. I think that I was reminded of a time when I did not take fully seriously something Joe was saying, and I did undercut him, and I apologized to him straight on the spot. And I said, "I don't know, But I don't want that to reinforce this kind of defiant behavior. And it certainly put me on my guard to be more careful about my attitude.
If the child were 10 years old, let's say, and something entirely of a different nature had occurred in which he had been disobedient, and you felt that in some way you were at fault, would you feel that you needed to apologize to the child?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This doesn't destroy your authority.
Oh, no.
Quite the contrary.
Yes, I would think it would give them new assurance, because in our confessing, we gain a new strength.
And you're gaining the child's respect, because mm-hmm. he recognizes that children are very intuitive, and also they have real insight into the character of their parents, don't they? And frequently we sin in front of our children. They know it perfectly well.
Yes, and they've got to know.
And if we smooth it over or act as if we're perfect, try to get across the message to the child that we're perfect, and the child knows we're not, we're certainly not reinforcing our position of authority over them. The child needs to know, doesn't he, that we are all fallible. But I, as a mother, stand under God in authority over that child. Isn't that right?
Yes, and it gives him courage to confess his sins this way. You see, we're trying to teach him how he's going to be relating to God, too. And if he feels that he can come quickly and readily, this is just crucial.
Have you ever had a child want to confess his sin to God after you have reprimanded him?
Well, we frequently talk to God right after talking about a discipline problem, so that we frequently did do these things in conjunction if it was a major issue.
You and the child would mm-hmm. talk to God together.
Yes. Yes. In fact, I've had a child come to me when I was really out of sorts. I think it was Sarah, who she wasn't but three. And she saw me very frustrated and upset about another situation, had nothing to do with the children. And she took me by the hand and she said, "Come, Mommy, let's kneel down and talk to God about it, and it'll be all right."
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. There's proof of the power of mm-hmm. parental example, because, yeah. of course, that's exactly what she had heard you say. Now, sometimes when I've spoken on the subject of disciplining children, a young, frustrated but very earnest mother will come up to me and say, "I've done it all wrong. It's too late. What am I going to do now?" And sometimes I've suggested, and you tell me, Arlita, if you think this makes sense or not, I've suggested, look, you can go home today. Say these children are 5 or 6 mm-hmm. years old. I'm not talking about a 2-year-old. But you can go home and say, "I learned something today. And we have been doing this or this or this wrong. And I'm sorry that I've been doing it wrong, but we are going to start over."
Yeah, yeah.
Could you give them some help as to how they might start over?
Oh, I just think that's an excellent example, because I've had to do that. And I've had to go to them and say, "I've just been doing it completely wrong, and please forgive me. And I'm going to ask the Lord now to show me how to do it right." I think it takes them aback. Mm-hmm. And realizes this isn't quite so easy.
Sometimes when I'm visiting Valerie, we'll talk about the house rules, and she always wants my advice, and we go over things, and I try not to dish out advice unless it is asked mm-hmm. for. But I have an amazing daughter. I suppose she's a very unusual daughter in that she does say, "Mama, please look around. If you see anything that you would like to see changed, or if you have any suggestions that will help me, please mm-hmm. make them." And one of the things that I suppose every grandmother notices is children's table manners. And occasionally I will notice that the children leave their napkin on the table beside their plate and wipe their hands on it back and forth, or they drop their napkins on the floor and there they stay, and they get down from the table and leave, and the napkin is still on the floor or on the chair and it's not folded up. Just a very little thing like that. And Valerie will say, "Oh, I'm afraid I haven't been reinforcing that." And so if she makes the child come back and pick up the napkin, the child looks at her as if, "Well, you know, what's happened here? We got away with it for the last 3 months." You know, not that they would say that. But Valerie will just say to them, "I know that I have not been reminding you, But you know, and I know, where the napkin belongs. Now, we are going to do it right. Anything like that ever happened in your house?
Oh, it happened not too long ago, only it was with my granddaughter, Kirsten. And it was a Sunday morning, and I was taking care of her for 3 days. And we were just having breakfast, ready to leave for church. And she did not ask to be excused. And I knew that her parents always ask the children. They have to ask to be excused. And so I brought her back up, and I said, "Now, is there something you need to ask, Grammy?" And she just looked at me as if, "No." And I knew she was accustomed to doing it, and I thought, why in the world would she be challenging me on this simple little thing? And she flatly refused to get up into the table and ask permission to be excused. So I finally just took her upstairs, away from where we were, and I said, "Now, Kirsten, I want you to think about it, and as soon as you're ready to come and ask, you come down." 30 minutes went by. I finally brought her down and said, "Kirsten, are you ready to say?" "No, I'm not, Grandma." So we went back upstairs. For 2 hours, she waited. And then she finally came tripping down the stairs, and she said, "Well, I guess I'm ready, Grandma. May I please be excused?"
So that time it worked, didn't it? Well, you stick with it. And be gentle and firm and let the child know that you're in charge. Well, Arlita has given us some wonderful hints along these lines, and we're going to hear more from Arlita Winston in the next few days. Thank you for being with us.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.